Oh, man. That's our new song. It's not a new song in the Christian world, a new song to us. So I hope that you guys enjoy that song, Mercy, man, Mercy. That's what we need from God on a daily basis. And so today we're going to be continuing our series called Fulfilled. We've created a word search up here. Every week we're going to reveal a word that is in there. I've had several people already tell me, Tim, I'm not sure that this is a good idea that you've done this because you said it's for my ADD, but it's causing my ADD to like kick in. And so everybody's found some subliminal words that are up there. Over here on the left, you might have seen El Dorado. That's subliminal, you know. That's where our church is desiring to move. That's where we feel like God is leading us. That's not a sermon, but it's just in there for fun, maybe a prophecy. And so as we're continuing our series today, we have a highlighted word over here on the right called relief. Relief. Today we're going to be talking about the power of a word fulfilled in relief. The nation of Israel was under the rulership of a king named Ahab, and Ahab was the most wicked king. You know, most of the time when people say, you really excelled out there today, great job. Well, it says that Ahab excelled in wickedness. So he heard excelled, right? He's like, yeah! And then he's like, in wickedness, oh. And so this morning you don't want to excel in failure. Whenever you excel in wickedness, the inevitable result that we're going to be talking about this morning is a drought fell upon the land. And we're going to be talking about this morning why drought happens, what drought looks like, and then how we can get relief from the droughts in our life. Elijah, the man of God, the prophet of God, went to deal with the wicked king as God had instructed him. And so today, if you have any areas of drought in your life, I hope that we can learn a three-step process that will allow God to send the rain. Because some of you walked in here this morning and you desperately need some relief. You desperately need rain to fall from heaven upon your land, upon your marriage, upon your finances, upon your relationship with God, whatever it may be. And relief only comes from above. So let's get into this morning's word. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17, and if you have time, go read 16, 17, and 18, but we're going to pick out the excerpts from this morning's sermon so that we can get through this. It says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. He said, Ahab, you have been wicked. As a result of your wickedness, drought is coming. Oh, I want you to know this morning, drought is not somewhere you have to stay. Drought is not a place that you have to remain. A lot of your interaction with God is going to determine how long you go through the drought in your life. Now, a couple of things about drought. We kind of have to identify it a little bit, right? Whenever you have a drought, it's a process. Does everybody get that? Like, whenever it stopped raining, it wasn't just like you looked around, it looked like that, right? It was a process. So water would have been out there, and then as it stopped raining and there was no moisture coming up in the morning through evaporation, really the water started to close in, right? Whatever the lowest point was, the water started receding to its lowest point. And so over a process we're going to learn of 3 years, it was drying up. And if you allow things to dry long enough, drying leads to dying, right? I mean, after a while there's going to be some dead things laying around because the environment couldn't support life. You see, water is essential to the cycle of life. Does everybody get that? I don't know if anybody watches any Survivor shows in here, man. I think I've watched every one of them before. There's one out right now that's fascinating called, what's it called? Naked and what? Naked and Afraid. Dude, craziest show ever made. Not saying I necessarily recommend that for children, but it is like you are out there and you have nothing and you got to survive 21 days. I have just watched some people suffer. Matter of fact, we're not going to do that for a sermon series, no. But we're talking about the possibility of me and about two other guys going out and surviving for 7 days with one item for our fall sermon series. So you guys pray for us in case we do that. But as I'm looking at these people, you can go 3 days before you essentially your body shuts down and dies if you don't drink water. And you get to watch people like they get to that moment of choice, right? Like they're so thirsty, they say they're like, it feels like your tongue is on fire. And they have to make a decision, do I drink that water even though I haven't boiled it, even though I haven't purified it? And if I'm so thirsty, am I willing to drink unpurified? And what are the consequences? And people make some bad choices on that show. Yes, they do. One guy almost died as a result of drinking contaminated water. And so this morning I want you to know that as the drought starts out there and it begins to work its way in, that drying leads to dying. And as things begin to die around you, your thirst begins to grow. And your desperation starts to set in. I want you to know that the drought is not meant to punish. It's not meant to push. The drought is meant to pull. It's meant to draw you back to God. This morning, if you look around at your life, is there any places that are starting to dry up? Is there any passion that you once had for God that you see it slowly but surely beginning to crack, dust begins to blow? Do we ever have those times in our marriage, those seasons where a drought comes? Do we ever have a season in our finances, maybe sometimes where a drought begins to set in? I think that all of us can relate to drought. And this morning I want you to know that drought is not a place that you have to stay. This morning as we consider this drought, I just want you to remember that whenever it comes to this cycle of life, sometimes that we do things that causes the cycle of life to shut down. I mean, I bet all of us can relate. Have you ever had a shutdown moment? I mean, where you just really blew it? I want you to think about for a moment. I bet all of us that are adults in here, we can think about a time where we went on an interview or something really important, or maybe you had to give a speech, and like you had this crescendo moment, right? Or the interviewer asked you a question, and like whatever they asked you, it threw you off your game, and then like something came out of your mouth. Have you ever had one of these moments? Like the answer that you were saying, right, was going out, and in your mind you're like, no, not that answer, and you're like trying to grab it, right? Pull it back in, and you wish you would have said something different, and you knew as soon as you said that, you could tell by the reaction on their faces, right? You just shut down that. I mean, you might as well pack it up, like, well, I'll see you later, okay? What about in our marriages? Do we ever have a shutdown moment in our marriage? Have you ever been, like, in an argument, or even worse, maybe, like, you were on your way to, like, an intimate moment, and somewhere between, you know, the music playing and the lights off, you might have said something you shouldn't have said, like, oh, have you been gaining weight? I mean, that right there is what we call a shutdown moment, right? You might as well go put the pajamas on and whatever. So anyway, all I'm trying to say is that we do things or we say things, we cause things that take that cycle. And if you think of the cycle, it's like a circuit, right? I mean, everything has to be touching and everything has to be connected just right in order for the cycle to keep producing. But if you take water out of the cycle, what's going to happen? Death. It's like a circuit where everything's not connected, and when you flip the switch, the light doesn't come on. Why doesn't the light come on? Because you've short-circuited. There's a poor contact point somewhere in your circuit that is messing up the ability to light or the ability for light to shine. This morning, I guarantee you all of us in here have some things, have some places that we could improve. We have some droughts to overcome. We need some rain for relief if we're going to experience life and life to the full. Whenever Jesus encountered this woman who was looking for water, he said, I have some water that if you would drink it, you would never thirst again. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled up. This morning, wouldn't it be awesome if the areas that you've experienced drought for months, years, decades, what if this morning you followed God's process and found relief for the droughts of your life. Not only is there drought, I want to tell you the number one thing that I think causes people to avoid experiencing relief, and that is deflection. Deflection is, in psychology terms, it's whenever you are presented with something that you are guilty of or something you struggle with, and instead of accepting responsibility, what do? You deflect. Has everybody ever had something deflect? Like you throw a ball, it bounced off a wall, it deflected off the wall. Some of you, when God brings stuff to your attention, okay, you are a world-class deflector. That's what you are. This morning, God is throwing his word at you, and you're like, force field. No. And you have the ability to deflect what God is trying to get through you, in you, to you. This morning, watch what Ahab says. When Elijah walks up, 3 years have passed. There's nothing but death and dryness all around. And Ahab sees Elijah, and he says, oh, it's the destroyer of Israel. He's come back to talk to me. And Elijah looks back at him, and he says, me. I brought this all about. Is that the way you see things? He says, let me tell you the truth, Ahab. You've abandoned the word of God. And as a result of your abandoning the word of God, that is what has brought this drought. Do you think that we ever deflect? Anybody, show of hands. Is there any deflectors in here? Come on. You know, like whenever you're having a marital spat, I don't know, what are some things that people fight about? Anybody got anything in here? Money. Let's say money. Okay, one of you is a spender. One of you is a saver, okay? If both of you are spenders, you are in trouble, all right? You are in trouble. Both of you are savers, you might not have a lot of fun in life, but you'll have money in the bank. But whenever you got a saver and a spender, let's say the saver looks in the bank account or whatever, the online account, and says, calls up, texts the wife, whatever it may be. Hey, I've noticed that you've been spending, and we don't have that in the budget. And the spender is like, oh, yeah? Well, 75, 90, 93, or whenever it was 7 years ago, you bought that thing. You remember when you bought that thing? Well, I can buy this thing. And like the ability to like rationalize what was just presented, they want to deflect, right? Let's not talk about what I did. Let's talk about something you did. Have you ever talked to somebody like, whenever I'm trying to present, you know, information to you, you seem to react and you seem to yell at me whenever I'm trying to give you constructive criticism. I do not yell. Has anybody ever seen this behavior before? I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. We have this tendency to deflect. You know what? Maybe you would say to the spouse, like, you know what? It seems like you're just trying to control every situation. I'm not trying to control every situation. You're the one trying to control every situation. It's like, that's what we resort to, like, juvenile forms of communication. Like, oh, yeah? You're so fat. No, I mean, it's like, whatever like we devolve into, it's like we deflect because we don't want to deal with ourselves. Am I telling the truth? Most people in here, you don't wake up every day going, how can I fix me, right? You think, how can I fix all the people around me, all the culture around me, all the people I work with around me, and if they could just all get fixed, then I would live in a perfect world, right? That's the way we think. You're a deflector. Yeah, welcome to the club. You're a deflector. Ahab said, you're the destroyer of Israel. And Elijah said, no. You abandon the word of God. And when you abandon the word of God, you bring about drought. This morning, if you're going through a drought, I guarantee you there's some area of your life you've probably invited the drought because you abandoned the word of God and his principles. So this morning, if you are going through one of those seasons where there's drying, and hopefully not this, but some of you might even be to the second stage of drought where things are dying. And that's a sad state, right? Whenever your marriage starts to look like it's dying. Whenever your career starts dying. Whenever your finances start dying. Whenever you can't pay the bill. Whenever you feel like friendships are dying. Man, whenever you lose stuff in death, it starts to get tough. It starts to get real. Here was Ahab in the most real moment of his life. And instead of acknowledging that he had some part to play in this, he was deflecting in that moment. You know the reason why many people do not ever grow? And the reason why they never get past those hang-ups in their marriage or hang-ups in whatever short circuits or they never even really increase in their relationship with God is because you never want to deal with you. This morning, I hope we could see there's a three simple step process. We're going to close with learning about the process of relief. I want you to look at these three steps. Number one, there's repair. And then the second step is that you have to repent. And then the third step is that you have to recognize that only God can bring relief. You have to repair the altar. You have to repent of your sins. And then you have to recognize that only God can bring relief. Whenever Ahab encounters Elijah, Elijah says to him, "Gather the people and let's let the God who is able to answer, let's let him be God." And as the people listened to Elijah, it was one man of God standing against 850 false prophets on the side of a mountain called Carmel. And on top of Mount Carmel, he says to the people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, is, if he's really God, then worship him." He says, "But if these other little gods, if they're really God, then worship them. But why do you hesitate? Why do you hesitate between two opinions? Do you ever feel like your life is all about hesitating? Like every time you come in here, you're like a bipolar person, right? When you come into this worship service, you're like, I love God. I love him so much. I love Jesus. I love to worship. I love to hear preaching. I love to go to life group. And then when you get out there in the world, you find yourself slipping. Instead of you influencing it, it's influencing you. Oh, this morning, how long are you going to hesitate in that realm? Let's look at this first step in the process of repair. It says, "Then Elijah said to the people, come near. The prophets of Baal cried out all day, and their God was not able to answer. And after they finished, he told the people, come near." And it says that Elijah, he looked at this altar that had been torn down. I want you to think about that. Whenever it says it had been torn down, that requires effort, right? It means that this once was the place that they worshiped God, but now it had been torn down. So what they were looking at was a pile of rubble. And Elijah said, if you want relief to come, you're going to have to let God repair some things in your life. I wonder this morning, if you were to think about repairing some things in your life, I don't know if I have time to rebuild this whole thing here, but It says that whenever Elijah was looking at this, he said that there used to be the people of Jacob. But then he says your name was supposed to be Israel. Is that verse up on my screen? Somebody say yes or amen or something like that. He said that's what your name is supposed to be. But the people of Jacob is what you used to be. You see, Jacob was the man who wrestled with God. Jacob, whatever it says the name Jacob, Jacob is the best you could be. The best you can be apart from God. Jacob swindled, stole, deceived, and grew his net worth to immense proportions. From the outside looking in, everybody said, Jacob is a success. And all God saw was a broken altar. A broken vessel, unwilling to submit, unwilling to surrender. He said, but I have not called you Jacob. He said, your name is to be Israel. Israel was the transformative title that God had given to the people that were supposed to have changed and given their lives to him. So whenever we see this broken down altar, we see Jacob. But whenever he begins to rebuild it, he says he rebuilt it one stone for every tribe. And he said, because God wants you to be Israel, not Jacob. God's not interested in you being the best that you can be, because at your best, at your pinnacle, of your existence, you are one drought away from losing everything that you've worked so hard to get your hands on. He says, I don't want you to be Jacob. He said, I want you to be Israel. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be my son, my daughter. Now, what did he repair? Did he repair the people? He repaired the altar. What is the altar? The altar is the access. The altar is the access to God. The first thing that has to happen, if you ever want to have relief for your drought, is that you have to repair your access to God. See, many of you think, you need to fix yourself, right? You need to fix your brokenness. No. It wasn't the people's brokenness that needed to get fixed. It was the altar, the access to God. If you can get the access to God right, he will fix you. But if you try to fix yourself without access to God, good luck. Good luck. How many years have you been doing that? Have you fixed yourself yet? Have you fixed your problems yet? Have you fixed your marriage yet? Have you fixed your finances yet? Have you fixed your struggles yet, your addictions? I guarantee you, in and of your own strength, Jacob, you haven't done it. But repair the altar and get the access. And then what happens next? After repairing, it says that he went through the second two steps. There had to be repentance and there had to be recognition. It says that he told the people, come near. And then he says, he began to pray. And he says, now, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Now think about this for a moment. Whenever we see these three terms, it's usually Abraham, Isaac, and what? Anybody? Jacob. But he's driving home the point. If you go look that up, it's like 37 times he says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But on this, one of three occasions is where he says Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's driving home the point. I don't want you to be what you used to be. I want you to be what you're supposed to be. And what you're supposed to be is in relationship with me, transformed by the word of God. He said, oh God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel, answer with fire that they may know that you're turning their hearts back to you. This morning, if you want relief to come, you have to repent. You have to repent. You have to turn from those things outside of God's word, outside of God's will, and you have to turn back to God. And it says that as he began to pray, the fire began to fall. The fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the rocks, consumed the water, even consumed the dirt around it. And then what did the people do? It says they fell on their face before God and they said, Yahweh, he is God. So the repentance led to recognition that only God answers with fire. Only God can answer the way that he does. Where all the rest of the gods of this world fall short, God answers in a moment. This morning, would you recognize? Would you recognize with us that only God can answer the way that he does? After the fire falls, they wipe out the false prophets. And then Elijah looks at the king and he says, I hear the sound. I hear the sound of a storm brewing. It says that Ahab went to eat and the man of God went to the top of the mountain. And on top of the mountain, he bowed before God and he put his head between his legs. And he began to pray for rain to come. As he was praying, he sent his servant. He said, go and look off the mountaintop into the sea and tell me what you see. He went out and he looked. He said, there's nothing there. He said, he sent him back seven times. And on the seventh time, he said, I see a cloud. I see a little cloud like a man's head rising out of the sea. I have a graphic that kind of depicts this. And then Elijah said, go tell the king that the rain is coming. Now what had happened? They repaired the altar, which gave them access to worship. Then they repented of their sin. And then they recognized only God can answer the way that he does. Their hearts were turned back and they said, God, you are Lord, you are Lord. And then as a result, that cloud began to rise. Now do you think it's coincidence that it was a man's hand? It was a hand rising out of the sea? Are you kidding me right now? Is God not good? He was like his hand rising out saying, I will now open the sky and the rain will come. When my people are willing to repair the altar, when they're willing to repent of their sin, when they're willing to recognize who I am, I will send the rain and I will bring relief. Would you guys join us?